Hi, everyone, and welcome to another Roofing Contractor Walls and Ceilings Legal Insights video and podcast. I'm Roofing Contractor Editor Art Eisner, and I'm glad, as always, to be joined by Trent Cotney, CEO of Cotney Attorneys and Consultants. Trent, as always, I'm glad you're here to walk us through some of the biggest issues facing the roofing and construction industries, legal and otherwise. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Art, my friend. It's great to be able to talk to you again.
Likewise. So I feel like we've got to start by recognizing the historic devastation we saw just over the weekend in Kentucky and other parts of the Midwest. Trent, have you heard from any contractors working out there that have been affected? And what's the latest? What are you hearing?
Absolutely. So when that storm hit over the weekend, or I guess it was Friday when it actually hit, but I immediately knew that there was going to be some problems. And before I even got the reports that came in, it was pretty obvious that this was a significant storm that caused a lot of damage, not just to property, but a lot of lives lost. It came so fast and unexpected. It caught a lot of people off guard. So significant amount of damage. I haven't seen the total numbers yet, but you can anticipate billions. And contractors have been affected by this. It's primarily Kentucky, but other states also had damage. You know, Tennessee and Missouri, I heard some reports. Even out in Illinois, I've heard some reports of damage. But I had the privilege of talking to the Kentucky Roofing Contractors Association yesterday. Robin, their executive director, had asked me to speak. And, you know, I talked to them a little bit about kind of what they were seeing, what they're potentially facing. And, you know, we went over a bunch of different issues. There's some contractors that were directly hit. There were others that had some minor damage. But a bigger problem is for those that, you know, managed to avoid the worst parts of the storm is materials. I mean, you know, how many times have I said, you know, during these podcasts and interviews that the supply chain issue is going to continue, and it's going to be exacerbated by storms just like this. And what I want our listeners to understand is when you look at billions and billions of dollars of damage, including large commercial facilities like that Amazon Fulfillment Center, that needs construction materials in order to repair it. So, and it's not just going to be related to that region or the Midwest, it will affect the national supply chain. So that's definitely something that contractors need to be aware of. We won't see the full ramifications of that for probably a month or two, but it's not going anywhere. The volatility will still be there, but horrific incident. You know, we're still getting calls daily of contractors that are having problems, that lost materials that were in their yard, that had damage to their vehicles, that are trying to figure out how to engage in temporary storm repairs. What I call blue roof contract or tarp contracts, things, you know, to basically hold homeowners and commercial owners over until they can actually get roofing materials in to do the work.
And this is obviously happening right on the cusp of winter. It can't be easy for all those areas affected in the Midwest. it gets cold. So that can't be helping on both the urgency side, right?
Absolutely. So one of the things is that a lot of contractors don't think about, and I'd like our listeners to kind of pay attention to, you know, if you're doing storm work, if you're going in there to the storm area, you need some extra safety training because there are a lot of potential hazards, you know, puncture points, damaged debris, all kinds of stuff that's potentially, you know, in the rubble, everything from asbestos to other hazardous type chemicals. You really have to kind of prepare your crew to understand the extent of the tragedy if you're not used to this kind of stuff. So please be safe if you're doing that kind of work.
That's great advice, Trent. I was wondering for other, they're going to need a lot more help in those affected areas than just roofing. But for those contractors that either want to get involved and maybe even measure some of those business opportunities once that recovery process begins, what should be on their radar at this point?
Yeah, so there are a lot of charitable organizations that have already mobilized. One of the things that you can do is you can work with the local associations. Each of those states have local associations that, you know, are active and working with various, contractors that are part of that, regardless of whether it's TARC or the Kentucky Association. or even, you know, MRCA to a certain extent. So I think, you know, reaching out to those associations may be a good starting point to figure out how you can help, more so than just, you know, writing a check to a big charity, even though that's great as well. If you do get involved, and let's say, you know, I've heard of some contractors helping others by storing, you know, equipment or materials at their location because the contractor's location was destroyed. So another contractor chips in. If you do that, check your insurance coverage, make sure that you got proper insurance to handle that, because God forbid we get another storm and then you're looking at a potential loss on your property. If you want to loan crew or anything like that, make sure that you have buttoned up lease agreements, that kind of stuff, you know, employee leasing type stuff. Be very careful and cautious when you enter certain places. If you're not familiar with how to do insurance work, it is a different beast, right? If you do nothing but retail and you decide to switch to insurance, you're going to have as many problems as insurance trying to switch to retail. It's a different business model, so you need to understand how to do that. You know, getting some information from contractors that are used to this is useful. You know, I've got friends that are public adjusters that help navigate a lot of this stuff, but this would be just a few hints that and tips that I would give to contractors that are out there looking to help.
All right, great advice as always, Trent. What else is on your mind today?
Yeah, so, you know, politics continues to be politics, Art. It's surprising. You know, I often kind of scratch my head, regardless of who's in office, of how out of touch sometimes our politicians are. But what's interesting is this Build Back Better Act, which is basically the infrastructure plan. It passed the House without any issue, and now it's been hung up in the Senate. And as part of the Senate analysis, they did a budgetary analysis of what it was going to cost. And, you know, the House had suggested, oh, it's going to be $1.7 trillion, which I don't know about you, but I don't have $1.7 trillion. So, you know, that is enough to make you get heartburn to begin with. But in this analysis, they actually figured out that the actual cost of the proposed act was going to be $5 trillion over 10 years. Okay, $5 trillion. So you can anticipate that, one, this thing's not going to get approved this year, and two, there's going to be even more haggling, more problems as inflation continues to spiral out of control, as we continue to have all these issues with supply chain. I just don't think dumping a bunch of money on it is necessarily going to be the fix. So expect some more wrangling and negotiations next year.
Trent, just a quick follow-up. Do you expect some of those revelations to impact groups that were supportive of the initiative initially to kind of maybe pull back a little too?
Yeah, I think so. I think at this point it has gone on for so long and it is so convoluted that it's hard for a lot of the special interest groups to even continue to pay attention rather than diverging and going in their own direction. You know, one of the things that we've done here is instead of trying to focus our efforts on this Infrastructure Act, we're working on the Ocean Shipping Reform Act because we believe that's a better way to deal with some of the supply chain issues. It helps address the port problems and some of the other things out there. I think special interests that are out there are going to look at this just like I'm looking at it, like a layperson, and say, this is a hot mess. I'm leaving this and I'm going to look for some different piece of legislation that will be more narrowly focused. Because it's a mess, man. You know, and it's gone on for so long that a lot of the constituents are just tired of dealing with it.
All right. Time will tell. Gets right. More interesting, Trent. Thanks as always for your insight and all you're doing for the roofing and construction industries. Where can people find out more?
Sure. Go to our website, cottonycl.com, or feel free to email me anytime, tcottony@cottonycl.com.
All right. Thank you, Trent. And thanks to all of you out there. Please visit roofingcontractor.com while you're there. Be sure to sign up for our free e-news magazine and our e-newsletters so you can stay on top of the latest news and info impacting the industry. For our walls and ceilings audience, please also visit wconline.com for comprehensive coverage of the interior construction industry. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time.